On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
Welcome to part three of our series, God with Us. So glad to have you here today, and good to have all those who join us each week online. Can we welcome those that are joining us online? We're so glad you're here. Merry Christmas, everybody. How many's, I know my son's already asked, how many's ready? I just want to see, how many's ready? Nobody here's. Oh, got one ready. One ready. All right, we're going to go take notes from her and ask her how she did it. But anyway, but really excited about Christmas. It's coming quick this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It seemed like there weren't not as many weeks, but so we're trying to scramble as best we can. I told somebody, I said, I don't even have the list yet. You know what I mean. When you're getting ready for Christmas, you want to get ready and have things under the tree and for the family and. I said, I just want a list. That would help me get started, you know. So, anyway, hey, listen, I want to give a shout out to a group of people who really made a difference around here. Many of you know that we have a center here on our premises who takes care of special needs children during the week, Monday through Friday. It's an incredible organization, and we have been in the process of building them a fenced area on the side of that building that they can have a space where they can get out and get some air and exercise. And so we've had a team of people that have been helping us with that. So I want to give a shout out to Tim and Randy and Theron and Tanner and Summer and Dwayne Dunham and Femi Balligan. Thank you guys so much for your help. Doing a great job. You see the work that's been going on here, along with Bill Botkin and the amazing team from Outdoor Contracting, doing a great job. We got more things to come. We got a new parking lot that's going to be coming, some new gravel, not pavement, but we're getting there one step at a time. But we're getting going to be addressing that as well. And it's going to be a lot of things are shaping up around here. So I just want to thank you guys for all of your help. And along with that, look at that. Doesn't that look great? Isn't that great? Oh, by the way, if you notice, there's one more thing that needs to be done there, and that's staining. Anybody good at staining? We could use your help. So it's not too late to join in and some of the fun. But I appreciate all the help, and that's just going to be a great, amazing thing. In fact, I heard one of the directors there of the center told me that one of their children that comes, he's been running that direction every day saying, are they finished yet? Are they finished yet? So he can't wait for us to get the area finished so they can have that space outside. So that's just awesome, awesome. So along with that, let me give another shout out to a guy. Y'all just gonna have to pray for him. He's got the hardship of leaving first thing in the morning for the Bahamas. UNC Charlotte is playing in a bowl game in the Bahamas. Josh Wendt is gonna be traveling tomorrow with the band, and so we're proud of them. So y'all be praying for him. He's gonna have a real tough time of it. So let's just keep him in our prayers. But yeah, really, really exciting times. Exciting times. So, well, let me just jump right into what we're talking about today. First of all, let me preface it by saying that we're in a season of opportunity, opportunities really that are present all year long, but present themselves in unique ways around this time of the season. And with that, we're trying to equip you with some tools to help you seize some opportunities. One of those things is what we call the Acts of Kindness cards. And I want to encourage you, don't forget, at the end of service, grab you some of those out there in the lobby. Take those with you. And they're simple cards that just say, look, I just want to do something special for you and remind you that God loves you. And so you're doing a random act of kindness, but you're linking that to God and to the church so that they can get connected with God and get connected with others and see their life change. And so you'd be surprised. One person said, little is much when God is in it. And you can do a little random act of kindness and you can make a huge difference for eternity. So I encourage you, avail yourself of those. Another thing that we have an opportunity of, and I've been talking about this for several weeks leading up to today, and that is today we have the opportunity to participate in our legacy offering. And that is an offering that we are going to give away. And we have a unique opportunity to give this offering away. Specifically, there is a church that we are aware of that honestly is going through some things like we've gone through. In fact, that some of what we're going to be talking about today, they've had a little bit of a storm hit their church. And so we're going to encourage them, and we're going to pour into them, and we're going to bless them in Jesus' name, because God's going to use this and use them to make a difference where God has planted this church. So I want to encourage you today. We talk about that more at the end of today's message. But that opportunity is here today, and it's going to be a great day. And you just heard we're going to be going this afternoon to Northside Baptist Church. It's going to be a great time of us just enjoying the season together, and we're going to meet there at 3:30. And if you need to know more about that, just be sure and connect with someone of us in the lobby after church, and we'll be sure to tell you some of the details exactly where we're going to meet, just let you know all about that. It's going to be a great time together, and we're going to end it up with Culver's, maybe ice cream, if my wife will let me, at Culver's ice cream, y'all. Come on, come on, right? I mean, Culver's ice cream. So it's going to be a great time, and that is today. So let me jump right into today's message. There's message notes there in your worship guide, and also online. If you're watching online, you can download those and follow along with us. If you'll grab those, I want to jump right in. As we're talking about how this principle that God is with us, we're bouncing off an anchor scripture, and we as followers of Christ really look at this scripture that there is a power in this theological term called incarnation, which simply means that God became flesh and dwelt among us, that God is indeed with us. Jesus wasn't just born as a baby in a manger and just an ordinary baby, but he in fact was God himself. He was 100% God, yet 100% man. It's an amazing miracle, but we believe that when Jesus came, he was known as Emmanuel, God with us. Look at this scripture, and I'm going to talk more about this particular scripture next week for our special Christmas message. Hope you'll come back next week and invite somebody to be with you. But look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. That says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, everybody say it, come on, God is with us, right? Come on, say it again. God is with us. And week one, we talked about the fact that God, we know that God is with us in the valley, that while we can enjoy him on the mountaintops, we get to know him in the valleys. And then in week two, last week, we talked about that he is also God in the wilderness. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we discovered that we experience the closeness of his presence in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that he whispers. And why does he whisper? He whispers because he's close. We can experience the closeness of his presence in the wilderness. And we also discovered that your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend upon God. Well, today we want to talk about the fact that God is with us in the storm. So again, when we look at God being Emmanuel, God with us, we discover in different places of our life, we can realize that God is even in those places. And a storm, when we think about a storm, now listen, storms can be very, very difficult. And oftentimes, storms come out of nowhere. You know, you ever just seen storms just blow out of nowhere? It's a clear day, and the next thing you know, clouds are rolling in, and in no time, there's a storm that blows. You didn't see it coming. It took you by surprise. Storms come that way out of nowhere. And someone once said that in life, there's three things that we know. You're either coming out of a storm, you're currently in a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Say, that sounds pretty discouraging, Pastor. Well, it's the truth. It's called life. It's just that there's these times where we're going to be in storms, and it is part of life. And I'd love to be able to come up here and say you're never going to have a storm, you're never going to have troubles, you never have problems, but that's actually part of life. In fact, the Bible tells us that the days of men are few, but all of them they're filled with much trouble. And Jesus even said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. But he said, be of good cheer. So there's an encouraging word in the midst of a storm. There's an encouraging word in the midst of your trouble. And that's what I hope to bring to you today and encourage you today. A funny thing about storms, though, it's interesting how that we name killer storms. We name killer storms after people. You know, think about that. After people. We have Hurricane Irma, and we had a big one blow through here several years ago called Hurricane Hugo. You know, I'm glad we don't name everyday events after people. You know, you ever known that person who's got an excuse of why they're late for work? You know, could you imagine, you know, they come up and say, well, boss, I'm sorry I was late today, but Hangover Howie hit me last night, and I mean, it was terrible. It was a Category 4. It took me out. It was bad. And I don't know if I should say this, but, you know, Diarrhea Diana, oh, my goodness, it was terrible. She was bad. It was bad, 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 you know. For many years, hurricanes were named after geographical places. If you study this, how they named storms, but then it wasn't until 1954 that meteorologists started naming, listen to this, after their wives or after their girlfriends. Now, how stupid is that? Think about this. Can you imagine this meteorologist? He said he comes home to his wife. You know, say I'm a meteorologist, and I come home and I say, "Hey Kim, there's this devastating storm coming, and it's gonna wipe out life. It's gonna be devastating." And I thought of you, so I named it after you. It's Hurricane Kim. I mean, you know, think about it. I don't know. It doesn't make quite much sense, but for 25 years, they were named after women, had female names. But in 1979, there was equal rights for storms, and now they started including men. And we also know that when you study these, that when they're real destructive and really bad storms, they retire those storms and they never use them again. Unfortunately, some of you are here today, and you may be tempted to name your storm. It may be that right now that you're going through the storm of betrayal, or the storm of divorce, storm depression is about to get the best of you. Perhaps you're going through a financial storm, or a storm of some kind of addiction, or storm cancer. Question is, what do you do when you're in the middle of a storm? Sadly, many people want to blame God when they're in a storm. How could this have happened? What did I do wrong? Where is God? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why can't he do something? And I want to give you a key thought for today, and please write this down in your notes there. And that is, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. There may be the presence of the storm, but there's always the presence of God, even in the midst of the storm. He is the eye of the storm. He is the peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to share with you a story that's found in the book of Acts, where there was a group of men that were on a boat, and they were in a massive storm that had went on and on for many days. And they were panicking. They were throwing cargo overboard. They were terrified. And the storm was so bad that they thought that they would not survive this. And they got to a very dangerous point where they had lost all hope that they would be saved. It is a sad place to get to the point where you lose hope. And I just want to encourage somebody today, if you're in this place where you just feel hopeless and you don't know what to do and all hope is gone, I want to encourage you, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. But write this down if you would. Write this down, and this is something to remember when you're in a storm. I am never without hope because I am never without Christ. Amen? He said, I'll be with you always. He isn't just there on the sunshiny days. He's there in the cloudy days. He's there in the storm-filled days. He is there with us. Look at this scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 27 and verse 20. It says that when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, it just would not stop. It says that we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So they were in this massive storm, and it's recorded that they had begun to lose hope. We get to that place if we're not careful. When we just don't see any end in sight. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We can't see, you know. In fact, the other day we had a lot of rain on Friday, y'all. It was a rough day on Friday. I was out in it all day long. It was cold, long, hard rain. And I told somebody, I said, there is a blue sky straight up above us. It's easy to forget that when you're in the storm. You think, well, it's a sunshiny day. It's always a sunshiny day. There's just a cloud between you and the sunshine. Don't forget that. I love flying. I love flying because when you get in a plane, it may be rainy at the airport, but if you've got a good destination you're going to, you're going to get up a high enough altitude, you're going to break through those clouds. You're going to see, it looks like snow all under you there and nothing but blue skies above you. It's easy to forget when you're in the midst of it that there's a presence there. God is still with you. He hasn't left you. But you can get to that place where you look at your marriage and you say, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how our marriage is going to survive. You may be on the other end of the spectrum and you may say, I'm single and it looks like I always will be single and always alone. You may be in a place where you say, I'm never going to get out of debt. I don't see how in the world we're going to decrease this mountain of debt that's over us, this cloud of debt that's hanging over our head. You may have this point where you feel like maybe you're trying to have a child and I never will be able to have a child. Or you may feel like I'll never will ever graduate. I never will pass the course. I'm never going to make it. Or I'm always going to deal with depression because the Bible says that it said that the storm continued raging. It just never stops. But don't give up hope because Christ is with you. Here's another thing to remember, and that is in the storm, God is teaching me to trust Him in every circumstance of life. You can learn something in the storm. It's a teaching moment in the midst of the storm. God is teaching me to trust Him in every circumstance of life. It's recorded here in verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. I love this. Paul was not so spiritual that he couldn't pull this. I tried to tell you so. Don't you love it when you're going through something? He said, you should have or could have or would have. I mean, you know, don't you hate people that should have? That doesn't help me now. I'm in the midst of it. You know, why tell me that now? Well, actually, there's some things that God does want to speak to us in the moment so that we can learn, so that God can teach us some things. But he said, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and this loss. So he was saying, I told you so. If you had listened to me, you wouldn't be here. And so it is important that we understand why we're there. And a lot of times, a lot of us just kind of, especially in church ranks, we just want to blame everything on the devil. You know, well, the devil, you know, the devil made me do it. The devil this and the devil that. Well, you know, that may be that he deserves some blame. But can I tell you that a lot of times it's our own stupid fault. You know, it's our own fault at times when we get ourselves into these situations because we made a bad decision. We're in the storm because we spent too much money. We're in the storm because we mouthed off when we shouldn't have said anything. We're in the storm because we weren't considerate and it cost us something. We're in the storm because we procrastinated. We're in the storm because we said, you know, somebody tried to tell us not to date that guy, and yet you went ahead and dated that guy, and your mama told you not to date him, and your best friend told you not to date him, and the pastor told you not to date him, and the fortune cookie told you not to date him. Come on. But you said, but he's got potential. Yeah, he's got potential to ruin your life, and now you're in a mess, and you don't know why you're in a mess. Well, it may be that you made a bad decision. Right? And maybe this is one of the reasons that they gave up hope. They're in the storm because of the decision they made. And it's easy to believe that God will get you out if God allowed you in, but it's more difficult when you got yourself into it and you know that it's your own fault. But can I remind you of this, that God is teaching us, even in that, no matter, regardless of whose fault it is, regardless of whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, regardless of that, God is still with you. He is still merciful. He's still gracious. He has not given up on you. He has not written you off. He is with you in every circumstance of life, and He's teaching you that even regardless of all of that, to trust Him in the midst of that, that He is with you. And for some of the crew on the boat in the storm, it may not have been their fault. There may be some on the crew that said that didn't want to go, that said, hey, you need to listen to Paul. Paul says we shouldn't go. Maybe we shouldn't go. But now you're going through this storm because of somebody else's bad decision. How many of you have ever been in a storm because it's someone else's fault? It's someone else that caused you to be in this storm, right? Don't nudge anybody near you. Don't look at anybody right now. That would not be good. You know, your parents got a divorce and you had nothing to do with it, but yet you had to deal with the ramifications of that. The company made a bad decision and they're laying you off, and it wasn't your this bad decision, it was upper management's, but here you are, you're suffering the consequences. You trusted someone and they betrayed you and let you down, and here you are in this situation. But I just wanted to remind you of this, that God is still teaching you that you can trust in Him. He is an anchor in the storm. He's not going to let you drift off and be lost at sea. Come on, He's with you in the midst of that. Amen. Amen. It is so, so true. Here's another thing that you need to learn in the storm, and that is that in the storm, God is with me. Write that one down. God is with me regardless of what is happening around me. No matter what's happening around me, God is with me. I don't know about everybody else, but God is with me. I'm a friend of God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It may be chaos all around. It may be storming all around. It may be tempestuous all around, but God is with me regardless of what is happening around me. Look at the scripture in verse 22. But now, and I love that word, those words. But now, what? But now that I'm here, now what do I do? But now I urge you to keep up your courage. You see, they stopped eating. They're throwing cargo overboard. Would you stop eating? You won't die. You might as well just stop eating. Why eat? In fact, after Paul told them this encouraging word, they began to eat again because they received hope. He said, be of good courage. Keep up your courage. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now, sometimes faith just has to go to another dimension called courage, where you got to have courage to step forward and to believe God and to take action and to see God do a new thing in your life. Take courage. Keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Look at verse 23. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Now that's amazing what Paul is saying there. He said, an angel showed up. Now, some of them might say, Paul, you're a little delirious here. You're seeing mirages at sea. But no, Paul said, look, there's a God I serve. He's with me. He's given me everything I need to get through this. Even an angel came and stood beside me. Now, that may freak some of you out, but can I tell you that there is more to this life than meets the eye? And God will be with you in more ways than you can imagine. God will be with you in the storm. If He needs to, He'll put angels round about you. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Then it goes on to say, He will give His angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Can I tell you, He has keeping power. He has angels He'll put around you. I don't know about you, but I pray God protect us. In fact, I told Kim, I said, it's getting to the point now, every time you get behind a wheel of a car, we need to follow the example of my father-in-law. Every time he got behind a wheel of a car, he would be praying, God, protect us now. Give us traveling mercies, he called it. Traveling grace, protect us. And I tell you, in this day and age and in this city in which we live, which, by the way, don't mean to throw off on the city here, but it needs some. They need some lights on the streets. You know what I'm saying? They need some reflectors in the lanes, because sometimes when it rains and it's dark, you can't hardly see around. I said, you better be praying when you get behind the wheel. Lord, protect us. Be with us. Put your angels around us. You say, that's silly. Listen, if we could have our eyes open right now, you'd probably see some angels around here right now. In fact, I probably got a big one right here behind me. I'm just saying, God, listen, God is with us. We are not in this thing alone. In fact, one prophet, he was all discouraged and scared, and or his servant was, and the prophet had God open the eyes of his servant so he could see when the enemy was coming in on him. And when his eyes were open, he saw chariots, that he was filled with chariots, and saw that there was more with them than with the others, right? So listen, God is with us. And he said, an angel stood with me. An angel encouraged me. Can I tell you that God equips us with everything he needs, that we need? He gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He said, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not by yourself. You'll never be alone. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And then he says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm just trying to tell somebody, he has equipped you with everything that you need, even in the midst of your storm. God is with you. He goes before us, behind us. He hears our prayers when we cry out to him. He hears us and he comforts us and he guides us and he sees us through. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God, as I said at the beginning. Right? Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Let me give you some extra scriptures there. They're there in your notes. In 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said, everyone has deserted me, but he said, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. And with God's for you, who can be against you, everybody? Paul even said, hey, everybody deserted me, but the Lord never deserted me. The Lord stood beside me, and he strengthened me. And David said in Psalm 16 and 8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Have you ever sensed the Lord with you when everybody abandons you and leaves you, or you're going through some kind of a storm, of some name storm, and you realize that God is with you? And there's strength that you find in that. I heard the story of a guy in school who was being bullied, and there was this bully, and in fact, what happened was this bully thought that this other guy was after his girlfriend. He wasn't, but he couldn't convince him otherwise, and so he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to beat you up. He'd leave notes on his locker and say, after school, you know, I see you after school, you're dead, you know, and so he ran around trying to avoid him, trying to make sure he wasn't anywhere where this guy was, and trying to kind of hide out because he knew he was going to get beaten to a pulp. But then one day, this new kid comes to school who's got a reputation, whether it's true or not, probably not true, but he had a reputation of killing the kid at his last school. And he said, that worked out to my benefit because he was a bigger guy, and everybody knew that. And he said, and I became his friend. And so he said that, so what happened was he kind of stuck next to him. And then when he saw that other bully, he said, hey, you got something to say to me? Say it to this guy, you know, because he had a big guy standing behind him. Can I tell you that when it makes you think differently and act differently when you know you got somebody bigger than you with you? Can I tell you, you've got somebody bigger than all your obstacles, all your storms, that is with you in the midst of the storm. Amen? He's with us. He's with us. It's interesting that when we look at Scripture, there's more than one storm that is mentioned in the Bible. In the Gospels, you see many storms referred to. And again, I think it shows us, again, you're either coming out of a storm, in a storm, or about to go into a storm. And it's part of life. I get amused watching the weather. You know, it's like storm alert. You know, it's like end of the world every time. And I'm thinking, it's a storm. It's going to rain. It's what it does on planet Earth. But it's like a major catastrophe is about to happen every time. it rains, you know. But the fact is, it's part of life, and it's part of our life, that we're going to have storms. And I would love to protect you from them. I would love to put bubble wrap around you and protect you from life. I've told my wife that. I wish I could eliminate it, but that's not reality. The reality is we are going to go through storms. The question is, how are we going to survive if we go through a storm? Jesus said, hey, you're going to have, there's going to be some storms that's going to hit. And when they hit, if you built your house on the principles I'm teaching you, your house is going to stand. But if you build it on what you think is best and your way, guess what? You don't listen to my words. The house is going to fall, and it's going to be a great destruction because of it. Look throughout Scripture. There's many storms that are listed. I'm thinking of one, and I won't list all the Scripture and the locations of all of these. But just there was one storm where the disciples were in a boat, and Jesus was asleep in the hinder part, in the lower part of the boat. And this storm was a massive storm. And the disciples, it was so bad, they thought they were going to die. They did not think they were going to survive. But they forgot who was with them. They forgot who was in the boat. And they began to panic. And then when they found Jesus asleep, think of this, the perfect picture of peace. He wasn't worried. He was asleep. He's just taking a nap. It's a storm. And they came to him and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? And he got up and he had a question in his. He had a question that he presented to them: was why? Why were you so afraid? Well, they were afraid because they forgot who was in the boat, and they honestly probably didn't even realize the extent of who was in the boat. They didn't realize really who he really was, because Jesus stepped up on the deck of the boat, and he says, "Peace, be still." Suddenly, all of the sea, the elements, the wind ceased. It obeyed him, and there was a tremendous calm. Now their attention turned where it should have been the whole time, from the elements, from the sea, to him, and said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. I tell you, we need to focus on who he is and recognize that he is with us in the midst of the storm. I'm going to come back to a point, and it's going to be the last point of this message, so file that. I'll come back to this point, but let me go to number four. When you're in a storm, know this, God will use what I learn in my storm to help someone through theirs. God will use what I learn in my storm to help someone through theirs. Look at this scripture again in verse 23. It says, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood by me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So what he was saying was, Paul, you can't go down in this boat. You still have to stand trial before Caesar. You can't go down in this battle because there is another battle to fight. I'm not finished with you yet. There's more work for you to do. There's more people for you to bless. There's more opportunities to give. There's something to look forward to. Don't just look to the past. That's another message for another day. But don't just look at the circumstances around you. Look at the opportunities that I'm giving you, Paul. There's something beyond this storm. The sun's going to shine again. You've got something to do. You've got more people to point to Jesus. Listen to this. God will use what I learned in the storm to help others through theirs. He had a work to do. He had something else to do. And God was going to use him in that. Here's what I want us to see in the storm that we're going through. You survive cancer so that you can help someone else fight their battle with cancer. Right? To give them faith to overcome. You've overcome unfaithfulness in your marriage so that you can help someone else overcome that situation and learn how to forgive and be able to go on with their life. You climbed out of a mountain of debt to tell others how it can be done, and that it can be done. You're living a sober life so that you can tell other people that you can live a sober life and you can be set free. Amen? God will use you, what you go through, to help someone else. That's why we do small groups around here, so that you can get with someone else. And in fact, when you get a group and you begin to share with them, you'll find out that you're not the only one that's gone through something. And you'll say, oh, you too? And then you'll be able to help. Iron sharpens iron, right? As we help one another. And God uses us to help other people find freedom. So the value of the storm is that God will use what I learned in my storm to help others through theirs. But then look at this, number five. In a storm, my faith is not in what I see, but my faith is in what God says. And we love to put emphasis on what we see. We say, I know what I see. Well, guess what? You don't always see everything as you need to see everything. What you need to do is listen, and you need to hear the voice of God. You need to read God's word and trust what God says, because our faith is not in what we see. The Bible says the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Faith in what? Faith not in what we see, but faith in what we know, what God says in his word. My faith is not in what I see. My faith is in what God says. So Paul goes on and says this, so keep up your courage, men. Verse 25, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. So notice, faith is in not what I see, my faith is in what God says. Faith is not in the boat, because the word was the boat's going to fall apart, but it doesn't matter. Your life isn't based, it's not depending on this boat. It's not depending upon, on the things that we put around us, our stuff. And, you know, we support ourselves with stuff. And when the stuff is gone, you know, we don't know what to do. Hurricane Hugo blew through here. I'm telling you, people had to call Red Cross and, you know, had to find out, get some counseling, because my hair dryer is not working. What am I going to do? You know, I mean, I don't have electricity. I don't have this. I don't have that. If we didn't have our phone, we'd probably all have to go into therapy. And we built our life around this false, artificial structure of life that we think that's our sustenance and that's what holds us and that's what carries us. Here they were on a boat. They thought the only way they could survive is to be on the boat. And God sent word to them, it's not about the boat. In fact, they become the first surfers, you know, in history, right? The boat fell apart and they all got a plank, you know, just rowed it in, you know. I mean, but God said that's not your support. God's saying your faith's not in the boat. It's not in the stuff. It's not in people. Listen, it's in what God says. It's in what God says. It reminds me of another story where Peter had saw Jesus come walking on the water, another storm. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you. Let me come to you. Let me come overboard. Y'all can criticize Peter if you want to. He went overboard for Jesus, right? And it was in the middle of a storm. And he stepped out, but he was looking at Jesus. But it says that he began to walk on the water. But when he looked at the circumstance and looked at the waves, he began to sink. And Jesus, he's always there, y'all. He's always there. He reached down and pulled him up and said, Peter, I kind of think it wasn't a condemnation, but I think it was probably a chuckle in his voice at Peter. You know, why do you doubt? Why do you have such little faith? In other words, keep your eyes on me, Peter. Keep your eyes on me. And listen, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he says, not on the circumstances, right? And here, listen to this. You can't control your situation. And there's many times you can't control the situation, but you can control. And you can't control when the storm starts and how it hits and how it lasts. You can't control what people do and what people think. And I know some of you say, well, if I would have done this and done that, if I'd have turned myself into a pretzel and did flips for people, maybe they wouldn't have responded this way. Maybe they wouldn't have left me. They wouldn't have betrayed me. And you second guess yourself and you say, well, listen. You could do all of that, and people are still going to do what they're going to do, and life's still going to happen, and storms are still going to happen. Is anybody hearing me? This is good preaching right now, pastoring the church right now. You can't control what people do, and you can't control what people think. But listen to this. You can control who you listen to, and you can control what you do and what you say by focusing on what God says, where you place your faith. And what he says to you will happen. God will see you through the storm. You're not going to die in the storm. God's going to see you through the storm. You're going to survive. You're going to be stronger. You're going to learn something in the midst of the storm. You're going to have peace in the midst of the storm. And God's going to have you have, you're going to have a great victory through that storm, and you're going to help somebody else through their storm. Amen? Amen? Let me give you this scripture. It's found in Psalm 46. God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and the mountains fall into the ocean depths. Even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by the violence. Even with all that, we know that God is our shelter. God is our strength. And we will not be afraid. I think of another, one more story of a scene. It's actually a sunshiny day. There's thousands of people that are listening to Jesus teach. And they're hungry, and they need to be fed. And there's a little boy with a small lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, right? 2 sardines. Kids' lunch. And Jesus miraculously takes that, blesses it, it's multiplied as the disciples distribute it and feeds thousands that are there. Oh my goodness, he's God. He can do anything. People were following him. They wanted to take Jesus not because of who he was, but because of what it could do for him. Had a wrong agenda, not his agenda. And so Jesus removes himself. Meanwhile, the Bible says the disciples got on a boat to go to the other side. They went out into the water. And when they went out, there was a great storm in the middle of the night. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And it scared them. Is he a ghost? And they invited him, if it's him, to come into the boat. Now here's the thing. Study it for yourself. It's in John chapter 6. And what happens is Jesus, when he steps onto the boat. Now, if you study it, it records that they were in the middle of the sea. They were not near their destination. But it says that when Jesus stepped onto the boat, immediately a miracle happened. Some people just kind of read through this and don't catch this. He stepped onto the boat, and immediately it says they were at land. They were at their destination. And the point of that story, John is showing us there, is that he is our destination. You see, it's not about the storm. It's not about what's going on around us. It's not focusing on those things. It's understanding that when you've got Jesus on your boat, you've arrived. If Jesus is in your life, you're going to be okay. No matter how much craziness and drama and just whatever is going on in your world, let me tell you something. If Jesus is the center of your world, you don't have anything to worry about what's happening on the periphery, what's going on. And though the outward man perish, the Bible says the inward man is renewed day by day. I mean, there may be things even going on in your body externally, but yet on the inside, listen, you got Jesus, and you're going to be okay. You're going to survive. You're going to make it. In fact, some of the answers he gives us are not just in this life, but are in the next life, right? Because the Bible says, eye has not seen, ears not heard. It's not even entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. God's got a master plan that is so amazing. And we look only because we're limited in what we can see. We see through a glass darkly, but the Bible says one day face to face we'll see and we'll understand. There was more to this life than what we see here. God's got a master plan. He's so eager. Listen, guys, he's so eager to bring us into and to show us. He wants to deposit, listen, a heavenly treasure into these earthen vessels in the meantime and give us peace where we are in the meantime with the hope of not just what's in this life, but in that that's to come. These men that were on this boat, they survived. Every one of them survived, but they at one point had almost lost all hope. And there's a scripture that says that Christ is our hope. He is our hope. But it also, there's a scripture that also says that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. We're most miserable because there's more than just this life. There's a hope. There's an eternal hope that God gives us. And that eternal hope was given to us by Jesus, who came to this earth born of a Virgin Mary, Emmanuel, God with us. It said, I am now with you. you. I have a plan for eternity for your life. And then not only did he was he born in the manger, but he then lived his life sinless, became the spotless lamb for us, died on the cross for our sin, became sin for us. Listen, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The great exchange at the cross, so that now he takes his robes of righteousness and he puts those on us and takes our filthy rags and puts those on himself and says, I'll take your place. I'll pay the punishment for you so that you can have a relationship with the Father. That's a hope that we have for eternity, that now through Jesus Christ, because he died, we live. Come on, because, listen, he suffered. Come on, we can live in victory because of him. Amen. That's what this thing is really all about. Let me give you this. Write this in your notes. Peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of a good God. All right, let's say that one again. Peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. You say, well, if I could just get this storm to go away, that's not where peace is found. It's not in the absence of the storm. It's found in the presence of a good God. We have faith in Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. I love this scripture. There's a little extra here. Psalm 93 says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The whole world is established that it cannot be moved. And says, thy throne is of old, that you are from everlasting. But it goes on to say, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord, and it's crying out saying, Lord, this storm. But the next verse, I love it. It says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes your house, O Lord, forever. In other words, you're God. You're God. No matter what goes on, you're God. You've got this taken care of. You're in control. You have this. Not only that, he has us. I've heard for many years of this story of the artist that painted this picture, and it was a picture of storm, lightning, and violence, and it was supposed to be the picture of peace. And they said, how can that be a picture of peace? But if you look very closely at the picture, you'll see something in the cliff of the rock. You'll see something, a detail that is often missed. I don't know if you can see this or not. But there's this storm, and you see the water raging, you see the lightning, you see the clouds, you see the violence. How is that a picture of peace? But if you look very closely in the cliff of the rock, there's a bird hidden in the cliff of the rock, and that's where peace is found. Who is the cliff of the rock? It's Jesus. If your life is hid in him, you have peace. If your life is hid in him, you're protected. If you have your life hid in him, he's provided everything that you'll ever need. He'll take care of you. In fact, talking about a bird, the Bible says his eyes on the sparrow. He takes note of a sparrow when it falls. And if God notes that, how much more important are you than a sparrow? God loves us. Amen? Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray, God, it be an encouraging word and give someone hope today. And I hope that my hope is to God that they'll recognize that Jesus, you are with us and you've came. We can have a relationship with you. You've come, Lord, to protect us, God, and to keep us close to yourself. I pray, God, that no matter what storm we may be in, that we'll find the refuge that you provide, a place of safety, a place of life that's found in you. You're greater than any storm. So I pray, God, for those that may be going through different storms of different names. But we know that the greatest name is the name of Jesus. And we speak the name of Jesus into everyone's situation this morning. We speak the hope that's found in you today. And the great truth that we are not alone. You are with us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give an opportunity today. If you're here and you don't know whether your life is hid in him and he's not the center of your world, not the center of your life, maybe he's somewhere on the periphery, but he's not the center. Can I tell you, I hate to put it to you this way, but if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not the top of the list, he's not on the list. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that today, which is really what salvation is all about. It's reordering your life to reflect that he is number one in your life. And I want to tell you, when you put him on the top, everything else will have its right place and it'll fall into order. You will have peace, but you will not have peace unless you do that, unless you make him Lord of your life. And I want to pray a prayer with you today and give you that opportunity to just put him first in your life, and reorder your life, and give you that peace that you so desperately need. If you're here today or if you're watching online, I want to pray with you. If you're here today, would you say, Pastor, as you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you just, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you just slip up a hand very quickly and you put it right back down. Yes, good job. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. God bless you today. If you're watching online, would you join us? And would you pray something like this? Come on, everybody praying it out loud for support. Can you pray this? Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you gave your son to pay my debt, so that I could have life. Today I open my heart and my life to you. Forgive me for going my way. Today I accept you in my life. Come in and make me brand new on the inside. Be the Lord of my life. Today I make you number one. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll serve you as you help me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for filling my life. I give you praise in Jesus' name. God, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it today. I celebrate with them the best decision that they've ever made, God. And I pray now your peace, God, the peace speaker, would come and speak peace into every area of your life, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us even the opportunity to experience you, yes, even in the midst of the storm. We know that greater is he that's within us than any storm we'll ever face. I thank you for that truth today. Lord, and I pray your peace in every situation, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.